the schools wouldn't routinely have it. We would have, for instance, even on achievement data, you know, Mrs. Bowden and I had to go out to the public schools to administer standardized tests because they have all a whole variety of tests given at different times with different kinds of scores that we couldn't even rely on. They just weren't valid, you know, for planning a program.
Can I ask Mr. Grayson, would you want a report on their behavior in the classroom or background family information? Well, let me say this. I visit all the families, and I do write up the reports, and Mr. Hammond, Mr. Turner, and Mr. Blotcher each have a copy of the report. So I don't know what their preference is.
Is that done during the summer? Or
yeah, I do that
before.
During the summer.
This is what Mr. Gray's talking about beforehand.
I was talking about beforehand. In fact, yeah. We should have
Well, there is now. I mean, let's say 2.5 weeks have gone by. There is a report on almost every child in the family situation. Well, I can't say a report. In some instances, there wasn't anything to be a new report since last year. But if you would be interested in seeing the reports, I don't know, maybe you could speak to Mr. Hammond or Mr. Blanche or something like that.
Yes,
well,
what I'm saying is, what criteria do we have for bringing a child into the program?
The selection was made this year by the guidance counselor together with the principal.
I don't think they should be able to make that. I think we should be the ones to decide who comes into the program.
But there has to be somebody initially chosen for you to represent the selection.
That I agree.
But I mean, I think as it was understood, there were a certain number of children allowed in the program. And it wasn't difficult for us to find 32 children. I mean, they're all, no, it wasn't difficult. It's not as though we had to scrounge them up to supply you with 32,
right,
you know.
So what
as a matter of fact,
what,
we asked for 25, so it wasn't difficult.
What percentage of the children that are here this year that were here last year?
I can't give you the percentage, but I think there are about...
Would you say half?
Oh, yeah, 22, I would say, out of the 32 were here last year. There would have even been a few more, but due to certain circumstances.
The ones that have given us the most problems, I don't think they should be allowed back into the program.
But the purpose of this program is to...
The ones that we determined to be more disturbed than our children, I don't think they should be allowed back into the program.
Well, Mr. Gray, I think that we have had
children... Our children are getting therapy, and they are not.
Well, this is one of the things that's true, that our kids are getting therapy and we have recourse to social workers and psychiatrists, which children in the community don't have.
Although,
on the other hand, they come here because this is an institution and a school geared to the emotionally disturbed. And these children would certainly not be acceptable in other programs. A few of them have been suspended from public schools and are on home instruction. So that I'm sure that the public school, the Yonkers Board of Education summer tutoring program, wouldn't accept them if they don't allow them in the school. As a matter of fact, when I was talking to one of the guidance counselors about bringing one of these children into the school for the day, into his public school to have the Metropolitan Achievement Test, she said, I don't think my principal wants that child in the building. You know, so we are taking the sickest children in the public schools because I think nobody else will take them. And we are a facility geared for the emotionally disturbed, and I think that while we're geared to this, at the same time, I know what you're saying, that the children from the community are not being treated in the way that our disturbed children are being treated.
They're experimenting with something. You're probably aware of this. They're having group therapy special period once a week with social workers or psychiatrists or people trained in the area. So this is an attempt this year to give them some kind of therapeutic help.
I would say also, I get the feeling that this whole thing of bringing community children in and disturbed children and deprived children is leading more to an opening up of Leakin Watson to a community, more a facility that's more used by the community. This summer, I think there are more community children in the summer program than Leakin Watson children because so many of our kids are in Upward Bound programs and special job programs.
How many children from Leakin Watson are there?
I don't know the numbers offhand, but I was told that there are actually more from the community than from Leakin Watson, and I think this is a trend, and we can anticipate more. And if this does
much concern with them as we are with our own.
We don't have the influence. We don't have the control, you know? We really don't. I mean, how can we say we will not take this child because he's emotionally disturbed?
No, I'm not saying emotionally disturbed, but the ones that are defined that are seemingly uncontrolled.
Yes.
I've seen a couple. Not only here in the school, but it's an overall problem. I've seen it down with the recreational program council. And all around, this child gives continual problems to all of them.
Well, I understand your point. I sympathize with you. The only thing is that the reality exists that you can only do so much within the framework of what's going on. It's these children are returning home, and you're not able to call the college parent and say such and such was the case. I think such and such would be carried through and followed up here by the social worker, and so you can't do that. I mean, you don't have the control because these children return home. So, unfortunately, it's a drop in the bucket, but I mean, I guess even a drop in the bucket is plenty worthwhile.
Well, for instance, Mary Darby is an illustration. Mary Darby is apparently sick child. She looks sick. She moves in a sick way. She functions in a sick way or doesn't function. And the guidance counselor at the school tell me that Mary's been waiting for 2 years for a placement in a special class for emotionally disturbed. And meanwhile, she's sustained in a public school where she's not learning. She's not benefiting. She's having a negative experience every day. And this is it, you know. This is the first year she was in school a full day. She was prior to this year, she had been in school only a half a day.
But when we came to administer the test, and there was a group of maybe four kids, she withdrew into a corner like a corner rat. It was pathetic to watch.
Well, as a child, sure. I mean,
and yet she has to function in this public school or be put on home instruction, which you know is no instruction. And so when there is this facility here, it would be nice, what you're really saying, we should incorporate them completely. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're getting much less than our kids are getting. And that would be great. We'll write a grant proposal.
Yeah.
Excuse me, before we go on, it's 25 after 1, and Mr. Dunn is going to present.
Yeah.
Perhaps, who's working with Mary? You are? Would you like to think of presenting her perhaps the week after next? Okay. All right, Mr. Dunn, would you go ahead?
Well,
sorry to cut you short, but the time is running out.
According to my thoughts, testing her issues, they have a 2.9 in their level. And 11 years old, the joint of the same grade. And according to the fourth grade, the teacher will be set is hyperactive and aggressive. Mm-hmm. And the one I have is just never really hyperactive. It's not hyperactive. Except for the last episode, that was just like after everything was all done. Mm-hmm. And as he's trying to get out the door, he's just doing he just don't believe I'm really alone. And I said, I believe. He says, no, you don't. I'm doing on the law. And he said,
You see, this probably comes from, he told me just yesterday, his father told him that his mother pays him to lie to his father. So.
Maybe part of this is trying to prove to me, when I spoke to the lady telling me to do it.
But the whole act was inappropriate. It was out of context, as I gather.
Yeah,
sounds like he wants you very much.
He wants your attention.
He wants attention.
And he wants you to be close.
And one of the strange things is when he did reading, after he finished his story, you know the answer is going to be
how does he
story.
Read? Let's talk a little about his academics.
Reading, he can read, but he wants to. He hates to read.
What kind of mistakes does he make? I mean, he's 11 years old and he's functioning at a high second grade level.
He stories are right. I think he can understand them. But when it comes to answering the questions, he will not go back. He doesn't really answer. He will not go back on the pages.
But the actual reading, do you notice any particular kinds of mistakes?
He's a little slow. I mean, it's
slow.
A hard time to get in the world. But he does get
Can
it.
He sound out words?
That's, it takes him time. But he does find
it. He knows the sound. Can he syllabicate?
Yeah. He's very good now. And he did very well.
What did you choose?
Did you die?
next week we're featuring McDivitt.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
The mother has psychic powers.
Feels Mary has psychic powers.
Yeah.
It's quite easy to predict through her being what's going to occur. And I mean, I'm sure there's quite a bit of illness involved in the drive line. Her elbow. Yeah, is she coming to class? She's so terrified for her stuff she was doing. Well, she got bad with candy. I think she does a little better. Is she coming now? She is. But Elroy's brother was suspended about a month before the end of school this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's older.
He's older.
Now, you're sending him off to Glenn?
Yes,
with Michael Krug.
Yeah.
Oh, may I, if it's possible, there is animosity between the two families, between the Krug family and the Darby family.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah, no, but it's kind of well-founded. I mean, you see, the father who doesn't live at home comes home drunk quite often and has hit Michael's sister in the chain that was in the 16th edition. And Mrs. Krug wants Michael to stay away from Elroy and her family and so on. So if you're being two in the same class, I don't think it's the best.
You see the role of the school home coordinator. Well, you can't fractionalize Mr. Dunn all over the place, but the alternative is I see Mr. Gray has three empty places at 9 o'clock in the morning. How'd that happen?
Well, I guess Mr. Gray is elected.
Yeah, how did that happen? He has three free hours. 9 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. He's free.
He does the benefit of being a supervisor.
Well, all right. Who do you think needs to be extracted more, Michael or Elroy?
Elroy.
Elroy.
Michael.
All right. We will move Elroy Dobby up to Mr. Gray, and you will notify Mr. Gray, please, Ms. Monroney and everybody else. Now, for Elroy, this is no problem because, except it's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday now for Elroy. It's the same time.
Is he alone? He only gets 2 times.
If he's alone, he only gets 2 times, right?
So
all right, let's make it Monday and Thursday. Monday and Thursday with Mr. Gray. And Mr. Dunn, would you give Mr. Gray your envelope and all the materials, please? All right. Okay. All right, are there any other problems of this nature, any other individual problems for Mrs. Bowden, who has very little time left, tells us about one of her children.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
This is not a problem. I think that's Reginald Carter. I just want to give you confidence. His mother's delighted with the tuning program.
Hold on, I haven't seen Reginald. He hasn't been in yet.
Where has he been?
I don't know. He hasn't been to see me.
He was out Monday. He was absent Monday.
No, he was absent a few days.
And he's going home and giving his mother glowing
gold. He said, it could also be that his being more comfortable in camp life might make his ability to learn scholastic line better. I mean, his mother claims that he's telling time there, that his multiplication table is there, and he doesn't like playing as much backwards as he did. No, seriously, it may have been nothing to do with the tutoring program. I mean, maybe she's seen into things. But it might have something to do with his experience in camp life, and he's just doing a little better scholastic than the rest.
That's marvelous. Like the patience of doctor, I feel so much better since she took my blood.
I wondered about it, frankly, that she told me there would be such quick results, but it might be just the whole atmosphere of the past life itself.
Or he's maybe a very clever boy who's conned his mother so that she doesn't know he isn't coming.
No, no, she didn't.
Why has he been absent?
No,
because
my
husband
is sick, and I got called home.
I remember when.
But he hasn't been in since the beginning of the program.
Oh, so he wasn't in yet. I don't know if
he wasn't. He wasn't in yet.
If if he continues to be absent. Brian got here, though.
Brian got here. He was late. He got here that morning.
Well, see, Brian comes from Virginia. That was Brian ran across the schedule.
Yeah. They're in the same group. Have to go.
Oh, Virginia, oh, cool. Brian and
Brian.
Well, I don't like to mix up your schedule because I see that
it's complex.
Complex.
Yeah.
But if Brian could be scheduled later, it would be better because Brian and Virginia picked up a tool and another side of Yonkers. Michael Bland picks them up, and it's not that he gets here on the question of time.
Well, these are supposedly 45-minute hours.
Uh-huh.
And if they come in at 9:15, mm-hmm. they just have to extend it till right up to 10.
The trouble with that is Malcolm here.
Well, in the beginning.
Oh, I didn't know.
There's just so much we can aim for. But on the other hand, if Reginald keeps being totally absent, why can't he come with his brother?
No, that's not his brother.
Oh, that's
his
last name.
Oh, I see. Okay. And why can't he, how old is he, Reginald?
Well, Reginald? I think he's in the fourth grade.
Can he get himself down to the bus?
Reginald?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a problem of being awakened in the morning, and there are difficulties. I get the impression, frankly, the mother is very overprotective and a little bit belligerent about things, and she has to be kind of...
What time does the bus come in?
8:45 is okay, the bus.
Well, doesn't he get to school on time then?
I don't know. He has to go to my school.
I mean, I have a feeling he doesn't get to school at 10 o'clock.
Probably he doesn't get to school on time. Yeah. It's not that the behavior is so different here than at school.
Could you possibly interpret to Mrs. Carter the need for Reginald getting down to the bus? I mean, this is my 4-year-old who needs to
address. I don't want to see you. I am going to do my best. It's going to take a little while. I have to win her over, frankly, a little bit. Because she's on her guard. She's kind of chip on her shoulder. She goes to meet him every day at the bus. She wants to run into the bus. And she's too overprotective with him. And I'll do my best.
You know, there are some changes we absolutely have to make,
yeah.
You know, where children are really in personality conflict or absolutely can come. But here, if it's a question of, you know, just not getting out of the house, we can. So I don't think that we can start reshuffling everything to accommodate that. All right. Were there any other such issues? Yeah, all right. Tina, can you, Tina's going to talk about Marsha McCoy. Are you all familiar now with Marsha McCoy? Or you tell us how long she's been here. Tina's been working with her right through the year. She came here,
last year?
Yeah, it was about June of 1968. Marsha came to the institution from the home of her grandparents, who were too old to take care of her. She keeps a good relationship with them. She visits them. They provide all these lovely clothes that you see her wearing. So she has a family in the sense of grandparents.
But she was taken away. I think it's important. She's with her mother. She's taken away from her mother immediately. And she's going to report over again. So she's had, like, no mother. And then she was placed with a nurse for a few months.
Father also rejected her. Both her parents have rejected her. Her grandparents have tried to take care of her. She's a physically ill child, and in addition to her other problems, and caring for her was physically strenuous and difficult for the grandparents, and this is why she's in the institution. So I think you have to see this as her not being as many of the other children are, without family and, you know, really essentially orphans. She really isn't. For her, this is a kind of boarding school, and she's been here about 14, 15 months.
She's 11 years old. The thing that's very characteristic about her is her walk. And she sways her head and kind of rolls it. This is because she has, she has esotropia, which her eyes turn out. So she was operated on this year, just for cosmetic reasons. They said it wouldn't improve her vision any. But it seemed to her, because she told the teacher, like, she's writing better and she can see things better. She has a delightful smile. She has a very sophisticated sense of humor. I think it's too sophisticated for the children around here, and she antagonizes them by her behavior. She likes to act young to get attention. then she provokes them to get some negative feelings. She seems to enjoy it. This is all kind of a psychological thing. She has gross distortions in